And woe be unto us if we ever come into this place and not tell you exactly how you can be brought into a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and we believe in our heart that that God raised him from the dead, we can be saved. We shall be saved. And so that is just one of those things that we start out with. If you're here this morning and you've never had that take place in your life, that is vital. That is what we're here for. The reason that we come here is not to do good and be good and act good. It is to share with people how to be righteous. And so if you're here this morning and you've never confessed with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and never believed in your heart in a way that's a humble way before God that he raised Jesus from the dead, then do that today, because that is how we get to the place that we're looking for. And so the message that we want to look at this morning is something that is related to that, because if that's the place we want to get to, then it just seems right to say about prayer that prayer is that gauge that we have to tell us how our relationship is, whether it exists and how healthy it is. The problem is that if we take a poll of Christians across the world, the average Christian prays somewhere between 1 and 5 minutes a day. So that kind of tells us where a lot of people's health is in their relationship. This thing called prayer is something that we really need to get a hold of and use and know about and not just let it be one of these religious words that we have. So how is your prayer life? Well, that's one of those things that might humble us all down real quick. How is your prayer life? How many hours have you prayed this week? What have you done this week as far as praying to God by yourself, with somebody? How is your prayer life? And we're going to look at some verses a little bit later, because somebody's already said them. I think it was in the prayer room when we got here. The James verses that we have not because we ask not. Well, there's a different little spin on there that I was kind of just writing down. And I looked at it and I said, you know, that's kind of reverse of what James says. Sometimes the reason that we don't ask is we just don't get it. And we don't get it because we don't ask sometimes, but we don't ask because sometimes we don't understand it. We don't get it. Lord, is this something that you have said to us and it really is real? Are you honest with us when you say, come to me and ask for anything that you want and I'll give it to you? And I believe he would want us to hear a resounding, yes, it's exactly what I'm trying to say to you. It's exactly how I want you to live. Those of us that have children, maybe let your thoughts go back to when your kids were about knee high. There were times when we can remember when our kids sort of sheepishly came to us. And it was almost like they were kind of scared of us, and they sort of haphazardly came to us, and there was something wrong. They came to us usually because they broke something, they wrote on the wall, they had an accident. Something's wrong in Denmark when your kids sheepishly come to you. I wonder if God says that about us, because sometimes we just sheepishly come to God and it's like, God, I'm here again. Well, you remember how we as parents, how we just scooped them up and said, come on, I don't care if you wrote on, we didn't say, I don't care if you wrote on the wall, but in our minds, it's, I don't care if you wrote on the wall, that wall can be scrubbed or something, but don't act sheepishly in front of me. I believe that's how God does us every time we correctly pray back with him, because he just wants us to know, you can always come here, you can always come to me in confidence. You can always come to me knowing that I'm going to give you the best that I can. We don't pray sometimes because we feel estranged from God. We feel like there's something in the way and we've been separated somehow. Well, we just need to understand that what God has done with us in prayer is give us a connection of getting that stuff taken care of. Because we do get ourselves sort of estranged from God. And we do, we're going to find out in just a minute, that before we do anything, when we come to God to pray, that we need to get all that stuff out of the way. As a matter of fact, when we do our communion, The verses that surround the communion says that if there's somebody that you sinned against, go to that person, get that all taken care of before you come and have communion with me or have this relationship with me. We're going to look in the verses here in Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, because there was something very different about Jesus's prayer life. The disciples, the apostles, they came to him and they saw what he was all about, and they saw that a big part of what Jesus, the Son of God, was all about was having communion or having a relationship that they could see with his Father. This is Jesus that is 100% man, 100% God, but yet they saw in him a need in Jesus. Yeah, they saw that Jesus relied on this thing called prayer. And so we look in the New Testament and there seems to be two different presentations of the Lord's Prayer. I don't care how you look at it or how you deal with it. We have to give a little bit of allowance here of, yes, there's possibly two distinct times that the Lord's Prayer was recited by Jesus Christ. There may have been two times when he said, this is how I want you to pray. Pray like this or say this. One of them was in Matthew chapter 6 when he was right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. It was part of what Jesus was giving the crowd. It was part of the teaching on the Mount. Jesus initiated it. And he was comparing the way that hypocrites or Pharisees or Sadducees at the time, these hypocrites would stand in the synagogue and they would want to be seen and want to be heard by these fancy prayers and these loud orations to God. And they were just sort of for show. And Jesus was comparing what is the right way to pray and what is the way that we don't want to pray. And he just point blank said, do not pray like the hypocrites pray in the synagogues. Pray like this. That's in Matthew chapter 6. In Luke chapter 11, which it leaves out a phrase that I really like over in Matthew chapter 6. But in Luke chapter 11, this is not Jesus initiating this. As a matter of fact, we have the apostles looking at Jesus because they see the depth of prayer that he has. They see that this is so vital to who he is as a human. And they see that it's literally the source of his strength. And so these apostles, especially the ones that we've been talking several weeks now about faith, and we've been talking about as Jesus finished up his ministry, how the apostles must have felt about taking over the ministry and how awesomely scary that would have been. And so here in Luke chapter 11, we see them coming to Jesus saying, Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. Now, they've been praying like we know people that pray. I started to say when I first said that about the Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, I will never stand in this church and not give the simple gospel, because I have seen 80-year-old people accept Jesus Christ. I have seen leaders in the church accept Christ. I've seen people of all races accept Christ. I saw a pastor one time that had pastored for 10 years accept Christ. We never stop giving the simple gospel. And so we look here at what they're asking, and they're asking, Lord, teach us to do more than we're doing. Teach us to pray. They had been surrounded all their lives by Pharisees, and they knew that Jesus didn't want them to pray like the Pharisees. So what they're begging him to do here is to please teach us to pray. So Luke chapter 11, let's look at verses 1 through 13, and what we call the Lord's Prayer is important, but it's also important the verses that come after it. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say. Now Matthew says, when you pray, pray like this. So there's a little bit of an argument there. Are we supposed to recite the Lord's Prayer, or are we supposed to pray similar to this? And whether we're supposed to recite it or not, we are supposed to pray similarly to this. These points are to be included in a prayer that we would give occasionally. Now, you can pray about anything you want to. Sometimes there's certain situations that you know as a follower of Christ, Christ knows all about it. Holy Spirit knows all about it. And so sometimes I pray and I don't even give an introduction. Sometimes I'll pray and say, okay, God, you know what I'm talking about now. Let's talk about this. And I don't put anything in front of it, anything before it. I just know that he knows what I'm thinking about and what's on my heart and mind. But Jesus has given us here this thing of when you pray, say this or pray like this. Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the one inside answers, don't bother me. The door is already locked and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? These guys came to him, and there was one spokesman that said this, but they all were in a bunch there, wanting the Lord to instill in them this ability to say the right things, to speak the right things, to get into the right attitude, the right position, to get to a place where they could speak to God and have a relationship with God and conversation with God like Jesus did. I don't think they came to him wanting to know the mechanics of prayer. This sounds like that Jesus gives them some sort of mechanics to prayer. We're not talking about that Jesus said, okay, well then, bop, 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 and bop. That's what you do. No, Jesus was telling them, these are the things that we have to be thinking about. These are the things that we have to be concerned about if we are to communicate with God the way that you see me communicating with God. They had been watching Jesus pray. So it wasn't the mechanics, it was the secret to prayer. He prayed to his Father and they watched him get results. They were just watching Jesus the whole time that they were following him, and it seemed like every time Jesus would slow down and speak the name of the Father, it seems like he would get results. So does God really hear us in 2020, and does he answer our prayers? Is the Father always going to answer us? And is it what the disciples were talking about here? Well, yes, it has to be, because then Jesus didn't give some kind of pre-lecture or an explanation. He just said, pray like this or say this. This is a guide to God. Our praying is a guide to God. Now, if we look at the Lord's Prayer, and of course, the part that's left out here in Luke that is over in Matthew is, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That itself blows my mind, because I think to myself, how is the will of God affected in heaven? Well, the will of God is perfection in heaven. So what he's praying for here, or what he's telling us to pray for, is, God, may your will be perfectly done here. In my life, may your will be perfectly done. That should be our number one prayer. When we go to God and we pray, we should pray, God, may your will be done in our lives above all other. And that is not a disclaimer. I know so many people that we try to understand prayer. And because we don't see the answers that we want, we say, well, you know, it's got to be God's will. We can't pray for anything unless it's God's will. Well, what God is trying to tell us here, what Jesus is telling us here about God is there is a way for us to get into a relationship with God that his will and our desires are the same thing. If our will and his will are different, then we've got an issue that we need to take up with God about following him and relying on him and submitting to him. But we see that here he gives what we know as the Lord's Prayer. But I believe that what God is saying to us and what he wants us to get in both in saying pray like this and say this is that he wants it to be ours. He doesn't want us to come to him in some kind of mechanical way and say something that we're not listening to. And if we're not careful, we can memorize something and we can recite it. And God doesn't want us to do that. God's not interested in our reciting. God's not interested in us performing a trick for him because he knows everything about us. So what he wants us to do is to take this prayer thing and make it ours. I love to hear people pray who make prayers their own. Usually those people will tell you, I just don't like to pray in public. I just don't like to pray where people are listening to me. Well, you know why they don't like to pray in public? Because they make it so simple. They make it so them. They make it so tapered to what they're thinking that they feel like it's not fluffy enough. It's not big enough. I don't want to do that in public because when I talk to God, I just talk to God. And that's what God is wanting us to do here through Jesus Christ. He says this, our Father, who art in heaven, holy be thy name or hallowed be thy name. Our Father, it's a personal relationship. It's a family relationship. It's a shared relationship that we all need to thank God for. We need to thank God for making us a family. We need to thank God for putting us together and giving us Christians that are a part of the team that we have and who we are and what we're trying to do. And of course, we first of all need to praise God. God is to be praised because of who he is. So I want to give you four things really quickly, and it's very easy to see in this thing that we call the Lord's Prayer. Four things that we should seriously desire or request in particular, but only after we have thanked God and praised and worshiped God. Don't miss out on the worship. Don't miss out on the thank you, God, just for being God. We should pray for God's kingdom. Somebody's already talked about God's kingdom. Somebody said God's kingdom in not only here, but around the world. We are to pray for God's kingdom. That's what we're here for. That's why we are living today. Now, I've said this before, and it might sound stupid to say it or for you to hear it. But if we didn't have a reason for being here, if God didn't give us a purpose for being here, and that is to get more people into a relationship with him, I just believe that he would have saved us, killed us, taken us to heaven. What else do we have to do? I'm going to live in heaven for eternity, so why not just get me saved and take me on? We have a purpose for being here, and that is to extend his kingdom, to work on the kingdom of God, to be a part of the kingdom of God. We're about his kingdom. He is king. We submit to him, and we keep at the very forefront of our mind, God, your will be done. Your will be done. Not ours. Not the thoughts that I can come up with, but the will that you want to happen. So we pray for God's kingdom. The second thing is we pray for and understand our necessities in life. The things that we take for granted. God wants us to slow down and understand the things that we take for granted. The necessities of life. God, thank you for air. Thank you for this mixture of oxygen that I'm able to breathe right now. Thank you for water. Thank you for food. Thank you for the necessities that I need every day and the way that you
you preached it, you talked about it, but the way that you give those things to me daily, I wake up with a daily fresh batch of all I need. So thank you for the necessities of life. The third is we should forgive and pray for forgiveness. We should, certainly we want to pray for forgiveness. We want God to forgive us of those things where we've come short and we've messed up and we've made a mess out of it. But what he says is, look, you must forgive at the same time that you ask for forgiveness. We have to understand that we don't just keep on taking and taking and taking without giving. It's like the story that Jesus says. There was the person that had the huge farm, and he was forgiven of a debt that he had of, let's say, $1 million. And after he was forgiven of that debt, then he went and just got all over somebody that owed him or had a debt to him of just pennies. And God is telling us, Jesus is pointing out here, that we need to not only ask for forgiveness, but spend some time discussing this matter with him about forgiving other people. Forgiving and forgetting what other people may have done to us, whether intentionally or haphazardly. Just forgive those people. Take time discussing with God, forgiving our sins. Lord, forgive us of our family's sins. Lord, forgive us of our church's sins. Forgive us of our nation's sins. Forgive us of our world's sins. And not only our sins, but our tendencies also. Lord, please forgive me of being prone to sin. And then the fourth thing is this. We should also pray for deliverance. Pray to God that he would deliver us from temptation. Deliver us when we are on that path that leads to temptation. I don't think there's any clearer explanation of the human role than here. Because he's showing us of how important it is for us to get in line with God. Not come to God and say, God, I've got this great idea. I thought you would be just super impressed with this. God, I've got this thing that I'm sure you never thought of. How about this? I have to be honest with you. As a pastor, I've literally come to God sometimes. And I know I haven't said that, but I've come to God with the attitude of, God, I know you haven't thought about this, but how about this? It's like, I was thinking about this and I know you haven't. It's like, you idiot. You think God hasn't thought of everything that you can think of? So I guess you get humbled at some point and you understand if you came up with it, God's already come up with it because he knows what's in your mind. So it's one of those things of understanding our human role in the relationship with us and God. And our role is to get in line with God. Jesus makes clear the principle of perseverance and endurance here. The believer will get what they ask for if they're serious, if they're authentic, if they're real. The whole point about this is sincerity. But then we seem to, like we normally do. How many of you are praying about something this week? How many of you got something on your mind this week that you're praying about? Most of us. I mean, look, I mean, there's always something I'm praying about. I appreciate this would be a good time to thank you for your prayers for my wife. She's progressing. So thank you for your prayers. Thank you for the gifts. Thank you for the food. Thank you for being interested and being in what's going on with her life. We look at this and what we want to happen, what we're praying about, it can happen. It can take place. It will take place. God says it will if we're serious, if we're authentic, and if we're sincere. But we as the humans, like our child we talked about earlier, we'll sheepishly come to God because we have a way of misinterpreting this whole thing. We miss out on it because we put so much emphasis on, well, it's the big deal is how I pray. The big deal is, Chip, are you praying correctly? Chip, are you praying hard enough? And that's not even the issue. The issue is, am I real? Am I authentic? Do I have a relationship with God? It's not all about me. It's not about all about how I pray. It's not all about, am I saying the right things? If we're not seeing the results that we want, then we think, well, I must not be praying hard enough. If we're sick or if we're wanting some blessing or we're in some kind of trouble and it seems like God is not answering, you ever been there? We all have. And when we get to that place, it seems like we think, oh, you know what? Maybe God's not answering me because I'm not praying hard enough. So I'm going to need to double down on my prayer. We think, you know, maybe God is waiting until I've learned a lesson. And so we try to learn every lesson that we can. You ever been in prayer and you've been wanting something to happen and you just start making up lessons to learn? It's like, Lord, okay, I'll learn this. I get this. I want to be a little bit better at this and a little bit better at that. And so we start cleaning up our lives. And God never said that. God never said, if you're not getting what you want, then freak out about some area of your life. He doesn't want us to live like that. He wants us to live in comfort and in confidence on Him. So it brings us back to the question, does God the Father really hear and answer our prayers? And the answer is yes, but it's not based on our simple understanding. We miss this because we know what the tense is that we see here. And we've talked, if you've been in church for a year, you have had somebody go to these verses and speak on the fact that this is the progressive present tense. You are to ask and keep on asking. You are to seek and keep on seeking. You are to knock and keep on knocking. That's literally what it means in the Greek. It is a tense that we don't stop. As a matter of fact, we have the verse in the Bible that says we need to pray without ceasing. Now, that doesn't mean... I brought up the kids. I'll bring up our teenagers now. That doesn't mean pester me to death. God is not saying, I tell you what, the way to get your prayers, if you'll just pester me to death. If you just won't hush about something, then finally I'll give in. We might do that as parents. I've done that as a parent, but that's not what God's saying to do here. It's not what Jesus is pointing to. He's not saying, okay, the way to get this is just pester God to death in prayer. No, it means make prayer a lifestyle. Make prayer something that we never don't do. Make prayer that thing that people that know you, if they see you coming in a car, they try to get out of the way because they don't know if you're caught up in prayer or not. And sometimes if you get caught up in prayer, just stay away from the car. It's literally, those of us who pray without ceasing and we prayed in our car have found ourselves hitting the grass every now and then. If you've not found yourself hitting the grass in a car, you're not praying right. If you're not praying right, then we're not getting what God wants us to get here. We need to make prayer a lifestyle. Prayer without ceasing. Ask and it will be answered because we have exercised our faith. That's what this prayer thing is all about. It's not a magical, mechanical thing. It is indicative of our relationship with God. And if we have that relationship with God, then naturally, we see the verse that says that He wants us to have our desires. What that really is saying is if we're in the right relationship with God, there's not a lot that needs to be changed because our desires are His desires. Because He puts those desires in our heart if we have the right relationship with Him. Ask and it'll be answered because we've exercised our faith. And it's based on our relationship with Him, not how much we pester Him. Jeremiah chapter 29:13, we all know that one. As a matter of fact, we used that one. When was it, Dean, that we had the prophet meeting? We looked at 29:13 just this week. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with your whole heart, with everything within you, with everything. You search for me and you will find me. And regardless of whether you ask for the best or not, I'm going to give you the best. We don't even have to come to God and say, God, I want you to give me the best. We don't even have to put that in there. Because we know because of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, and we know by other verses that God is the kind of Father that doesn't want us to have average. He doesn't want us to have the worst. He doesn't want us to have even mediocre. Now, am I getting ready to start preaching prosperity? No. But what we need, God gives us, and it's not broken. God gives us what we need when we need it, and He gives us better than we ask for. We have right here where there's some examples. One of them is asking for a fish. Well, the way God works is we ask for a fish and he gives us plank smoked salmon. God doesn't give us fish sticks. As we ask for fish, he doesn't pull out the junk. He gives us the best. He wants us to have the best. We have problems with prayer sometimes, a lot of times, because we have problems with faith. Because we all have been let down. We all have been disappointed. Now, I'm going to give you a throwback that's going to make some of you smile. Because I remember the first time in my life that I was miserably let down. I was about 10 years old. And back in those days, comics were very important to a child's life. And at the back of every comic, there was this, let me see it, Jess. There was this ad. Sea monkeys. And hopefully this guy went to jail. But I looked it up and he made $3.4 million off of sea monkeys, $1.25. Because he advertises exactly how they look there. And as a 10-year-old, I kept looking at the back of that comic book and I kept saying, I want some sea monkeys. I want a jar full of sea monkeys because I want to see them do those acrobatics, circus acts, dancing. It's what it says. The man says, if you'll send me $1.25, I'll send you a jar full of sea monkeys and you can watch them live their life. And so I was expecting to get this jar full of creatures that kind of look like that with lipstick and mustaches. And when I got it, what it was some things that you shook into the jar that looked like seeds. And if you looked real close, you could see those seeds actually hatched and they moved around. And it was about like a flea circus. And as a 10-year-old, I was like, I'm sure I cried. I can't remember if I cried or not because I wanted that so badly. And they came and it was nothing more than brine shrimp. And it was like, they're doing nothing. I don't see, they're not even big enough to see. And I was crushed as a 10-year-old. I only give you that for an example because as we grow up as people, our parents, our grandparents, our friends, our family, everybody that we know, they let us down. They tell us something that they're going to do and they don't do it. And so we grow up and we begin to put those things on God and we begin to expect God to let us down. We begin to expect that we need to give God a disclaimer. You know what? You can pray to God, but you know what? He'll do what he wants to do because there is that disclaimer that says he's only going to do his will. So you can pray to God, but it's his choice whether he's going to answer your prayer or not. And we can give all kinds of excuses on getting somebody ready to be let down. Pray and don't be let down. Let me say that again. Let's pray and don't be let down. Let's pray and expect what God has promised us to happen. Many interpret those verses as that asking is praying. And then that second level is if you're really serious, then you search and that's really praying. And if you're really, really serious, then you knock and that's really, really praying. Our asking and our searching and our knocking is our faith action. It's coming to our Father and it's saying, Lord, I know that you have everything. I know that you own everything. And I'm coming to you now because I am in need. And it's not for my purpose. It's not that I'm asking for something to make me look good or because it's some idea that I came up with. Lord, I am in need now. And so I am exercising faith to ask you for something. And if we pray for something, we should then expect it. The very reason for us asking is to get an answer. The very reason for us searching is to find that object. The very reason for us knocking is to get through a door. James chapter 4, verse 3, the verses that I mentioned. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. That's the disclaimer. If all we're asking for is something selfish and it's only to be spent on our pleasures, then we shouldn't expect that prayer to be answered. If it's simply to further our own agenda or prove our point, then no, it won't be answered. James 4 is all about maintaining humility and harmony. So Jesus gives a clear explanation about what God's part is. God doesn't just give us good things, but he has given us the very source of good things. When Jesus left the scene, he said, look, I will not leave you comfortless. I am going to give you something that is going to give you power to do and to have what you need. And that is called the Holy Spirit himself. He lives with us. He provides all that we need. He directs us. He guides us. He protects us. And that faith that we have is the reliance on God. It's that relationship with God, that submission to God. And this sense of security is so crucial to our life of prayer. What are you praying about this week? Let's change our attitude. If we're praying about something, make sure that it's not for a selfish agenda that we have going. Make sure it's not just to make us look good or to prove our point. Make sure that it's something that we need. And if it's something that we need and we are in relationship with God and we pray to God and it's not this occasional thing that once every month we might come to him with something that we need. If it's a regular relationship that we have with him, God will give us the answer to that prayer. The Lord encourages us to be constantly filled and controlled by the Spirit every day, in every situation, in every relationship. So, does God really hear prayer and answer? Of course he does. If we know him, if we love him, and if we trust him. There are two verses that I want to close on. It's these. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19. The verse says, the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who are his. And then Matthew chapter 7, verse 23 is that scary verse that we know of. And it says, I never knew you. So the question this morning is this. Do you have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ? And does your prayer life give a correct gauge of that relationship? It should. I hope and pray that every person in this place this morning knows Jesus Christ. And by knowing Jesus Christ, has a relationship with God the Father. And having a relationship with God the Father opens us up to this thing called prayer, where we never have to wonder, is God going to be there for us? Because he promises, if you know me, and if I know you, I will always be there for you. And you can talk to me, and you can ask, and you can pray for it, and I will give you an answer. You say, Chip, what if it's not the answer that I'm looking for? He will explain it to us. He will let us know. And you will come to a point of knowing, you know what? That was premature. There's something better for me. There was a reason behind it. I have trust and faith in God enough to know that he knows that I love him. He knows our relationship. And if I didn't get what I'm praying for, it's better than what I'm praying for. Let's pray. Father, I thank you so very much that you have opened us up to this thing called prayer. Just the very relationship with you, Lord, has opened us up to be able to talk with you and to ask of you and to communicate with you. Father, I praise you for giving the Holy Spirit so that he will be able to say some of the things that I don't even know how to say to you, express some of the things that I need that I don't even know that I need. And that you've worked out prayer to where it's not a mechanical thing. It is a relationship. And so, Lord, I pray that as I continue to come to you and I continue to have a relationship and fellowship and communion with you, that you would let me know how to get my will in line with your will, because I want your will. And, Lord, every person in this room, whether we can say that right now or not, down deep, we all want your will. So, Lord, we pray, yes, may your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We love you. We praise you. We thank you. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen.